Okay.
Woohoo!
You're listening to Yo, Is This Racist? We're still alive somehow? Are you alive, Tawny? I'm like 50-50.
I feel great. I feel good. I feel great. I'm enjoying springtime. The weather is lovely. I cannot complain. I know nice. That you can.
I mean, I don't have anything new or interesting to complain about. I finished The Sopranos, so that feels like an accomplishment of some kind, I guess. Like, I feel like I'm done with
huge.
The task, so that's good. It was not fun, but at least it's over.
You didn't enjoy it? Isn't this one of the great shows of all time? I've never seen it.
Turns out watching six seasons of a TV show essentially in one sitting is not great for your brain.
Ah, sure. I did something similar. So I wanted to watch Little Fires Everywhere on Hulu, but then someone told me, oh, you should read the book. And I know like book is better than the movie. Twitter is very annoying, but I was like, well, I have time. And I was looking for a new book. I read the book and really, really loved it, and then was talking to a close friend who said she started the show and found the show to be too stressful, even though it was very good. She was just like, it stressed me out. And I was like, oh, I don't find the book stressful at all. So then I watched the show, and I consumed all of this within the last 4 days. So I read the book and watched the entire season of the show. So for anyone who's on the fence, I recommend doing that, because the show was kind of stressful. The relationships were very tense and hostile, and in the book, I feel like they had a little bit more room to breathe. But I found both to be very good. So that's my tip.
That's good. I mean, alternately, you could do what we both did, but just don't do it in like a 5-day span. Because arguably, that's not great. Just throwing that out there. Any other quarantine tips from you or the gang? Oh, I have one. My quarantine tip is... make yourself a Yo, Is This Racist branded water bottle full, just chock motherfucking full of, in my case, Negronis, and drive to ex-producer Zig's alleyway and proceed to drink some fucking cocktails with Zig standing outside.
So on the podcast... that's mostly for and about people of color. You're recommending drinking liquor in an alley.
Correct.
Zig's
alley specifically. Tough look.
It's important for black people to be property owners.
What else? Is there anything else? And then one other tip for people, watch the season finale of Mixed-ish, which should be on your streaming service now. I don't know. There's a chance that my name is on it. It doesn't matter. The point is, watch the season finale of Mixed-ish, please.
Yes. I've had some fun Zoom hangs with some people. I know everyone's doing this. So this isn't really like a hot tip that you don't know exists. But I found it nice to talk to like old friends I didn't talk to in a long time or who don't live here. We had a nice little hang with some friends that I'm like, oh, normally I would just be like, wait until I was in their city and then we'd go have a drink or something. But don't know when that's happening. So reached out to old friends. I recommend old friends.
Yeah. And you might as well. I mean, it is a thing where it's like if we're just going to be on Zoom or the phone or FaceTime or whatever the fuck with people in your town, guess what? You can do that with people out of town. Try that shit.
And it's kind of like if there's anyone who you have like a relationship where you haven't talked in a while or you feel weird about it, like this is a great excuse to just be like, hey, shit's weird. I'm reaching out. Like I feel like there's a lot more normalcy in reaching out, even if you haven't talked to somebody for a while.
I think it's like, yeah. And if they don't want to talk now, it means they truly, truly hate you. And
that's good to learn, that's too. That's very scary. I can't think about that.
I'm sorry. Holy shit. Well, if you want, we are bringing a special interview, not as we've been doing, recorded in the before times, because our guests have a show that's on right now that they wanted people to watch, and they wanted to talk to us, we assume. But yes. Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings, hosts of The Nod, joined us, and it was fucking great.
Yeah, take a listen.
Good enough.
Good enough. No, Andrew, great enough. That's what I say.
There you go. It's working. I think it's good.
Everything's right, great.
Yourself, man. Give yourself the flowers.
Thank you.
We did it.
We did it. And what we're about to do is tell you who we're here with. That's right. It's our second interview in the locking of down. Third, technically third, if you count the congressman, but this is our second regular interview. And I feel like these shows are going to become instant favorites because they're going to be time capsules of what life was like in this bizarre time. Andrew, do you agree?
I mean, of course, I love calling instant classic. And yeah, there's no doubt in my mind this is going to be maybe the most important document of our fucked up times.
Exactly. Yeah. So absolutely no pressure as we welcome our guests, co-hosts of The Nod. We've got Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for
having
us.
Hello.
It's good to be here.
Do you feel pressure to make this an incredible tome of like a time capsule?
I mean, the thing about it is, no. I would say no. Well, just because I feel like every month is a time capsule of like something that seems insane. So like, yes, this is a time capsule too, but next week will be crazier. So you need another time capsule for that.
I was going to say, we only got to make it like 6 days, maybe even less if we get another like inject yourself with Purell like conversation. If we get something at that level, like people are going to be like, oh, Brittany and Eric, they did okay.
Yeah,
they were all solid for that week. Yeah.
This is like, it is amazing that like, now that we're actually in like, everyone realizes we're in like capital H history times. It's just like, oh, I never, every time I've thought like, oh, wouldn't it be interesting to see this or that? It's never interesting. Fuck history.
No, it's always worse. Than you thought.
It's like, well, also
like the history moments suck.
Like it's so slow. Like even I think about the fact that like my fiance the other day, he was like, you know, man, he's like, we've only been in here almost 2 months. And I'm like, right. Like, but we could be in here for like another year. And like my, I say grandchildren so optimistically, my grandchildren are going to be like, that was just like, what was it? 10 months? You're inside? It's like, no, every day drags on. When you're like the, if I wash one more mask in a sink, because we don't have laundry. Do y'all have laundry in LA?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't mean to gloat LA over New York, and I normally never would, but one thing we got here is laundry most of the time. Most of the time, I should
say.
Yeah,
that's fine.
We got laundry a little bit more, and I will say this is like the real one of the real privileges I've found is like, just getting in your car and going for like a pointless drive, you almost feel like it's normal. And just like, oh, okay.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. It was, I went down and looked at the beach for a second and then turned right around. And I was like, great, I'm back.
God, that must have been so freeing.
Yeah.
For a second, it really felt good. Damn.
Sound of Silence is playing in my mind right now. It's like, I am struggling.
Good. So not only are you guys in quarantine, you did launch a television show.
Yeah, Daily One, which is even more crazy.
Yeah.
How's that for capital H history? Two things.
No, and so April 6th, we launched The Nod with Brittany and Eric on Quibi. And it's a daily show about Black culture, Monday through Friday. And, you know, there's a lot of culture and life happening right now. So it's been kind of cool. We now shoot the show from home. So So we keep it going. But it's been awesome. It's been a wild time kind of like talking to people. The show has kind of taken on a little bit of a tenor of documenting kind of how Black people have or are adjusting to this entire, you know, madness that we live through every day, this pandemic. So yeah, the show is a lot more fun than that, than how that sounds.
Well, yeah, the show is a good combination between stuff that's like fun and like the fun and silly moments that people are finding like within all of this like stress and like constant trauma. But also sometimes we do actually talk about and acknowledge the stress and constant trauma. And then sometimes we have stuff that's just like a silly, fun distraction. Like today we had an episode that came out that was about how Eric and I basically like met and decided to start working together that featured a lot of photos of us drunk in college. That has nothing to do with the pandemic. That has nothing to do with the pandemic.
It had everything to do with my surprising love for Patron, which I...
One thing I will say is that... it's been, I mean, we have some people have no choice but to watch the show, basically. It's like, you know what? Maybe you know what I'm saying? Like, you can watch us and The Sopranos now. Do you know what I'm saying? If you never saw The Wire, you can still watch us and The Wire. You don't have to make choices.
No, there are no choices.
We have a
captive
audience.
There are 24 full-ass hours in every day, and I don't see signs of that changing right now, so...
Yeah.
No.
We need all the content. We need this content, and you need, you know, the nod with Brittany in there.
So exactly.
There how long are the episodes?
They're pretty
quick. Well, that is the benefit.
Yeah, they're like 5 to 7 minutes long.
Oh, damn!
Nice. Yeah.
Y'all, you can watch one while you're waiting for your oven to preheat, because you know everybody's baking damn bread all the time.
All the time. Exactly. They ran out of flour here because people was baking so much damn bread.
Some places have run out of flour here too. This is wild. End times shit. I never thought I would say the store is out of flour.
No. But you know what though? Also, I mean,
everyone has baked.
Yeah. The other thing too, I think there actually is enough flour. Let me clarify. I am not a farmer or a supply chain manager. I know nothing about either of those things.
We're still going to hold you to this though.
What's that?
We're still holding you to this. Yeah.
Thank you. Respect my authority. But I think this actually could even be worse in LA, though. I think so many people have like real gluten allergies, but also fake gluten allergies and just don't want to eat bread. And so they're just sort of like, I can't eat bread. And now it's like, yeah, bitch, you hungry now. Like, the bread looks real fucking good.
Well, also,
you can't go to the bar, bread starts looking real good.
Also, all the people with the fake gluten allergies, I mean, as someone who doesn't have one and has made both gluten-free and regular bread, gluten-free bread is so hard to make.
It's hard.
So everyone has given up.
It's not good.
A lot of times it's bad. You have to work a long time to make it good. And like, before all this, who had the time? So... I feel like people now are like, well, I want to bake bread because I want to put it on the gram because everybody's baking bread. But yeah. I gotta bounce that gluten allergy, that fake allergy, because it's too hard.
Yeah, it's too much. The flour's gone. The pre-made bread is gone. Like, I've never seen so many. Like, there's like the hot dog buns right now. I'm like, what are y'all doing with these hot dog buns? They're gone.
I know.
I got some potato buns on my Amazon order. I was hyped. I got one 8-pack of potato buns, and I was like, I'm fucking living.
Martin's potato bread is amazing.
You know what's
easy to
make? That
is the best bun.
Tortillas and flatbread. That's what I've been doing. I just make it myself. Doesn't take hours of resting the dough and whatnot. You just make a little tortilla, a little flatbread, have yourself a little wrap. Anyway.
Do you have a press? Do you have a tortilla press? Because that's like my dream right now.
No, I have a marble rolling pin, though, that I got at a Goodwill for $1. It is my prized possession. It is my most prized thrifted possession. It's pure marble. That's amazing. It was $1. The thrift stores in LA are wild. Rich people are just like bored. So they're like, I'm redoing the kitchen. And there's just like designer shit at the thrift store all the time. That's my hack.
It's just a reminder of all the bad decisions I made, primarily moving to New York. I love it.
No, New York.
God damn, they make you work for it. It's just, you know, honestly, I love New York, but every single thing you have to work about like at least 15% harder to accomplish.
Yeah. New York is a city of effort. Like, everything is hard.
Yes.
And if you survive it, you win basic survival. Congratulations.
Yeah, like you get to stay here. It's like you get to live. That's great. That's the, you know, I won.
Greatest city in the world. Well, shit. Should we let's roll a voicemail and then we can keep talking. See how this goes.
Yeah. Yes. Let's do it.
Hi, Andrew, Tani, and guest. I'm a freshman in high school, and my friend's English teacher, well, my school has a BLAC, which is Black Leadership Advisory Council, and they held this, like, rally thing because there were students at our school that said the N-word that were not Black, and so they had this whole day for it. And then apparently, like, on Monday, her English teacher was talking about how it seemed unnecessary and how it really wasn't important, and he was saying some really not great things about, he's also said other racist things in the past about, like, Native Americans. I don't know. But I was telling her, I was like, you should do something about this. You should go. You should talk to the BLAC. And she said, oh, I don't know. I'll think about it. And I'm worried she's not going to do anything about it. So what should I do to get her to tell someone, or should I just tell someone for her? I feel like that might be a problem because he's not my teacher, but I don't know. Thanks. I love the show.
Oh, man.
Oh, woo. The children.
Yeah, I
oh,
know.
High school problems, man.
Yeah.
So for back. Anyone listening to this in the future, a school used to be a building where people would go inside of it and then, I guess, learn. I don't really remember, but that's obviously
sometimes they'd just go there. Sometimes they would just go there and an adult would tell them that discussions about the N-word aren't important.
That usually also apparently a common space for trauma, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's actually the better way to put it. Because this is not that bad for where when I was growing up in high school. Like, just complaining about like an assembly that people gathered to say, hey, if you aren't Black, you should not say the N-word. Like, you should not say nigga. Like, that assembly happening alone, that to me is a little bit
I know.
Progress.
I just think
that
about,
would not
like,
have happened.
When we learned about Huckleberry Finn when I was in the 8th grade, it was like, ooh, torture. That book, man.
Yeah.
Like, just that's like, rough. I remember, like, the teachers would say, like, you know, it was written in a different time. So when you see this word, you just, you know, if it's in the text, you have to read it. And it's just a different time. And I'm like, oh, my God.
You have to. Imagine
the little baby
telling white
were
children.
Like, oh, I can't wait. They're like, oh, I can't wait. They're hoping they get called on for a passage with the N-word. They're like, oh.
But man, what
this
an
poor
insane.
Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This poor kid, freshman in high school.
I think regardless of whether or not you were in the class, I think if you heard it and you feel bothered by it, I mean, it's worth saying. I don't know that I wonder who you can actually, who the best person to report a teacher to is. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We had teachers with Confederate license plates all the time. So it was just like, you kind of just knew like this, that coach, you know, we don't engage him in conversation. That
we
much.
Had one that had a Confederate flag in the back of the classroom and he taught history.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some real Michigan shit. I'm also from Michigan, and it's like...
Oh, you are?
Yeah, from Ann Arbor.
Oh, from Farmington Hills.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Like 25 minutes away.
They're doing the hand thing. Right there.
I did the hand
thing. They're
holding
up hands.
No, this is for TV only. All our TV.
Oh, okay.
Wait, okay, Eric, where are you from?
I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, the thing about Memphis is it's really nice. It's like a lot of, like, it's a city. So, and it's like a majority Black city. So there is a lot of stuff that actually like won't fly, you know, or at least when I was younger, that like wouldn't fly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you still have things kind of just pop up where it's like, oh, right. Yeah. You know, right, forgot. South, still racist. Yeah, still struggling with that. It's come a long way. It's very much, I can see this situation kind of happening where, you know, they would mm-hmm. have the assembly now, but mm-hmm. you still kind of have the teachers grumbling about it. And that's mm-hmm. what you have to push back against.
Yeah. Is there anything to the idea that it's like, you know, like getting involved in a thing that, you know, you didn't have firsthand knowledge of or firsthand experience with, like, because to me, I sometimes wonder if like we
by virtue of the show, encourage people to like stress themselves out about shit that like you can't do anything about, or like,
oh,
you know,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know,
especially because it's like, it does have a tinge of like a hearsay kind of a vibe to it. You know, it's like my friend's teacher said that the teacher said this, like, I can't remember in the voicemail if the student said that they were present for it, but
I don't think
also,
so.
But it does sound like the student's aware of some other comments the student made or the teacher made. So it's kind of like, I have, are you guys ready for a slightly unpopular opinion?
Yeah,
sure. Go for it.
Feel free to shoot it down. I just came up with it. I kind of think teachers like that are just good training for all the regular ass authority figures you're going to have to encounter in the real world. Like, you're going to have to deal with that person at the bank. You're going to have to deal with that person at the post office. So learn how to, I don't know, deal with them now. Is this anything?
Nah, I mean, I don't know. I would push back on that a little bit. I think it's one of those things like, yes, you are going to absolutely deal with that person at the post office at surprising places and locations. But I think it's still worth pushing back if you can. If you feel safe, like that's something that's not going to get you in trouble or not going to get your friend in trouble. And in this case, I would say that they didn't hear this firsthand. So you can't necessarily be the person at the front of the line, you know, like this person must resign today, or, you know, kind of like marching that drumbeat. But I do think it's worth like even asking around, like, hey, asking another person who might've been in the class, did this upset you as much as it seems like it, like the idea of it upset me?
Yeah. I didn't catch, is the person who wrote in and their friend, are they people of color? Or might be missing.
I don't think they identified. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I don't think they said.
Something I could see is like, I don't know. Cause I kept thinking, I was like, oh, I wonder if maybe like, I don't know. I've had moments like as a black woman, my fiance says I start every sentence with that, which is probably true. But I've had times as a black woman where sometimes I felt like maybe unsafe or hesitant to like speak up because I was worried there was going to be some sort of like penalty to pay or something like that. So I don't know what the situation is with the friend, but I wonder if the friend has any reason to feel afraid to speak out. And maybe if you are more privileged than your friend in that way, then maybe like you could like volunteer to do it with them, or like, yeah, like to Eric's point, like do some investigating and find out like take everybody else's temperature on the topic. But yeah, if you feel like it's something that you could safely do, I don't see any reason why not to say something. I do think a good, unfortunate, hard, but useful learning experience is sometimes like you may say something or blow the whistle and maybe some people might care. You might get a great result, but that's not always guaranteed. Like it might go really disappointingly and badly. And that in and of itself is like a pretty sobering real world lesson that you're sure to encounter more times in life, unfortunately, than not.
Like this guy isn't likely to have to apologize, you know, like it's more so they probably won't see anything if it happens. Like it's more of just like the guy gets called into the office and it's like, you know, you can't quite do that nowadays. it's probably what's gonna happen, but that's still worth it, you know?
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. It's something we talk about a lot with these things where it's like correcting their behavior or attempting to correct someone's behavior doesn't necessarily change the way they think, but it does tell them they can't do that around me anymore. That's a small It's a small win.
Putting that.
What do you
and
guys
is that
think?
Around me is a classroom full of children.
around all the youth that you're supposed to be setting an example for.
You know, the other thing I think about too is like sometimes like never underestimate, again, I do not know the background of the young people that we're talking about, but speaking from my own experience, never underestimate the power of an upset black mother who, like, somebody has done something racist to their child at school. My mom was there so fast. Like, she was there so fast. But I mean, to that point, I will say, like, it might be worth it, like, you know, maybe in, like, something to talk to a parent about. Like, if there's, like, an adult outside of the school that you trust mm-hmm. who you feel like, hey, this thing happened. An adult outside of school that you trust who, like, is in a position maybe to speak to a teacher in a different level than you could as, like, a student. Because that is some shit that my mother would love to, would have loved to jump up.
You got to hit us with a story. You got to give us a story. What she had to come tearing down there about?
When I was in the eighth grade, a lot happened in eighth grade. Overall, I really liked my teachers, but we had this one experience where we had to have a conversation about affirmative action when I was in, I think, the seventh or eighth grade. And there was one girl in the class who was like, you know, I mean, I went to school with mostly white children. And she was like, my sister, she was supposed to get into Harvard and she didn't get in. Her best friend, who's Puerto Rican, did get in. And that's why affirmative action is bad, because her friend only got in because she's Puerto Rican. And this was like a classroom conversation that, like, the teacher was like, how do I put it? He's doing a lot of that, like, what I would call now devil's advocate, just being devil's advocate type thing, mm-hmm. Except with a bunch of, like, 12 and 13 year olds. And it was just like it was a rough conversation. Like, I was maybe one of only one or two kids in the class who was just like, this is, like, meant to, like, this is like an adjustment. This is like a very tiny adjustment for, like, I don't know, 400 years of American history. Like, this is a small, this is a drop in the bucket. I knew that when I was a kid. And so, like, I had a really, like, it was just like a really stressful, really upsetting conversation of just like a lot of, it felt like a lot of kids were just sort of talking around me. And, like, a lot of that sort of, I don't know, what people called a few years ago, economic anxiety, like a lot of sort of just like outright, like, racism was, like, totally cool in that conversation. Mm-hmm. And I went home and I told my mom that I felt like I had been swallowed up by a Confederate flag. And so my mom was like, we're not doing that. So she, like, went down to the school. She talked to the teacher. She said that he did a really bad job of moderating that conversation. And, yeah, just didn't know how to have it appropriately with kids of that age. My mom lit a fire and I got an apology. And that was not the only time that happened, but that was the time, I think that was the first time that I was old enough to understand. I'm like, oh, okay. So my mom has my back. Like, so the teacher is not the ultimate, like, do all be all. Like, if I go home and I tell my mom, these white people are bothering me, she will change, you know, she'll get them to change course. So
The greatest thing in the world to me was when an adult was forced by another adult to apologize to me. Like, I was like, holy shit, I have broken the cheat codes. Like, this is amazing.
It's like you're learning about all the webbing of how authority works and who's in charge of who.
Oh, yeah.
It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. It's very fascinating. But yeah, so I don't know, maybe involving an adult, like, in your family, or, you know, or encouraging your friend to talk to their parent about it might be a good move too. Mm.
Yeah, that's sort of what I was going to wonder about, is, like, it is there, because the other dynamic that we hadn't been talking about is, like, sometimes students just feel powerless or whatever. So yeah, whether it's bringing in an adult, I wanted to float, does it feel, if you truly feel like the administration, the teachers, the adults don't have your back on this, what do you guys feel about the idea of, like, at I guess as a minimum, or just as damage mitigation, like, at least, I mean, it feels like sometimes all you can do is just make sure the other people of color, in this case, other Black people, are at least safe. Everyone knows this person in authority is, like, a fucked up asshole racist. Mm-hmm. And, like, sometimes that's all you can do. Is that, like, I mean, I guess that's just, like, a whisper campaign, if nothing else. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, for what it's worth, I feel like a lot of times you kind of already know. Like, you going into a class and somebody's told you, like, all right, watch out, you know, watch out for Mr. So-and-so. You know, like, it shit gets wild in there. Yeah. But I think anytime if you are a person who maybe possesses more privilege and you know something has happened that is affecting people who don't have that, if you're checking in with them and it's just like, what, you know, like, is there anything I can do that will make this a little less shitty? That's a lot. Like, that in and of itself is a lot. And sometimes it can help you. Sometimes the person who might have been in that class might feel like, oh no, I actually don't want anybody to do anything about this, because that means I'm definitely going to have to deal with it, you know, for a longer period of time. And simply getting, checking in with them to be like, hey, how do you feel about this thing that I think that I should do? That is a great impulse to have and one to follow.
Yeah. Talk to people. Yeah. All right. amazingly, we appear to have given actual useful advice, which is not typically what we do.
Hire us at your fucking school.
Again, we're not stepping foot in a building for maybe years. Yeah, let's do another voicemail.
Woo!
Hi, Andrew. Hi, Tawny. Hi, Gus. So I am a white person. I'm Greek, though, and I have friends who will consistently text me when they are eating Greek food or at a Greek restaurant or whatever it is at a Greek festival. They'll text me pictures of like of the food that they're eating, of the dancers. Yeah, I'm wondering, I feel like this probably happens to a lot of people of color. So I'm wondering if that's not racist against me, because I feel like, I mean, I know that Greek people are basically white people. But I'm wondering if this is racist when it happens to other people of color. Yeah. Love to know what your thoughts are. Okay. Bye-bye.
Just real quick, this reminds me, Andrew, I did make a stir fry last night. I meant to send you a picture. I normally send you a picture of all of my Pan-Asian culinary pursuits. And yeah, unrelated.
I will just say, actually related, but the opposite. This text thread Tawny and I are on, I got included in a conversation about my opinion on mac and cheese, and I was like, I'm not fucking touching this.
It's all black people and Andrew, and the person who sent it literally said, I need some, I need Negroes to weigh in, parentheses, and Andrew.
I'm not fucking
way to make space.
This. Yeah, I'm not doing any of this. Is there anything to pull together from this? Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know.
I don't know, man. This is a tough one.
I think
this is harder than the little kid at school.
Right? Yeah, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm American, so like it would. I mean, I guess I don't know. Like I don't know. Maybe I guess Black American food is still a part of like the dominant food culture, so it would be probably outrageous if every time someone ate some fried chicken they went out of their way to send me a photo. That would be bizarre. I don't know anyone who would do that. I also don't know
well
that
here's what I will say. So the nod with Brittany and Eric is kind of like the show after the show. Well, not the show after the show that was made after the show, but anyway, we had a podcast called The Nod for a couple years. And we did a story. We've done stories on black culture and kind of its association with grape drink. And then we've done a couple other stories about specifically about
fried chicken
barbecue.
Yeah.
And you know, so there's a consistent theme to the responses of that. I do get a lot of white people who will tweet me and be like, "Hey, I'm drinking grape drink. You mentioned that in an episode of your show." And I'm like, congrats. That is awesome. I hope you enjoy it as much as I normally do. You know, and somewhat similar, or a little less often with the barbecue. I think for what it's worth, our audience was a lot. Maybe the white listeners we had were a little more understanding. That might be wading into dark waters, per se. Mm-hmm. But the thing I do appreciate, a lot of times other Black people would respond back with like, "Hey, you should check out this barbecue spot if you're ever in this place. Mm. You might like it." That I actually always do appreciate. And I actually save those in a list. So like there are times where I'm like, you know, not in group, don't do it.
Yeah.
In group, actually, maybe.
Yeah, I would say no. I encourage maybe do it. I encourage it from other Black people. But yeah, I have no. Yeah, I guess I've never been in that situation before, but I would probably be disturbed if people. Also, I'm like, I don't know. I guess like your actual friends wouldn't do that. To Eric's point, probably more people on social media, maybe. But like, if like your actual friend is like hitting you up and it's like if I, one of my actual friends was like, hey girl, I'm eating some collard greens thinking of you, like if one of my non-black friends did that, it would just be disturbing. Like I would be like, are we friends?
Yeah,
I also would be so afraid of getting dragged. Like if I was joking before about texting Andrew something, but like if I went to some whack like Sichuan restaurant or something and sent it to Andrew, like, look where I'm eating. And he was like, dog, that place sucks. I would be like so sad. So like just on an embarrassment tip, like keep it to yourself. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my thing is, I do ask a question like, does she often talk about Greek food?
I was thinking
like, I did think that question, which is, you know, maybe like rude to her, but like maybe if Greek food is a frequent part of her conversation, she might be setting them up for failure. That's
true. Yeah, or if she maybe had introduced those friends to it. Not that this makes it her fault that these people are now being annoying back to her, but but I get what you're saying. Like if she was their first entry point to that type of cuisine, then they think of her every time they have it, and they're just not putting in the filter that says maybe don't send it though.
Yeah,
I think like regardless of the caller's experience, I think what it does, the people who send those messages, you're telling on yourself that you only have one of X or Y type of friend.
That means point.
If all you could think of is like, oh, I had the food, I have to tell the friend. That means you need to expand your horizons. Yeah. That's where your problem is.
Yeah.
I like that.
I mean, what we really want is to have you want so many great friends that like you don't know who to text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and you're then like, you're overwhelmed, oh, man.
Then you just don't text anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
And that's the goal. Don't text anybody.
Don't text anybody.
Don't text.
Doesn't really address the question that she asked, but I do feel like there's a question underneath that she didn't ask, which is, I just want to say, like, if you don't want people sending you this stuff anymore, just tell them. Like, it seems like she asked, like, is this racist? But I think she kind of also wants to be like, can I just tell people to stop doing this? And I don't know if you have or not, but you can just be like, look, you can just actually say like, look, I'm glad you're happy, but you do not have to let me know every time you have spanakopita. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. Although the one thing that I do, that does strike me as a tiny bit weird about the call is it almost feels a little bit like she was, and if this was not her intention,
I know you're going,
whatever, but it almost feels like she's asking, can I feel as mad about this as people of color feel in like their everyday life? And for that, I was actually like, actually, nah, you just need to deal
with that. It's not like, I mean, I'm not Greek, so I can't speak to that experience, but it's not the same. And also, again, if you don't like it, you could just tell people you don't like it.
That's really that's the easiest part of it. Is like, this is a low level thing that you can say and really not hurt anybody's feelings if you say it right. You'll still be friends with all your whack friends.
It is like an interesting look at the history of whiteness, because it's like Greek people in America, for sure white. I feel like it's a little bit conditional in Europe sometimes when people are talking about the EU, they're like, you almost see like Germans being like, ah, the Greeks. And you're like, whoa, come on. That's crazy. You people. Intro white people, like whatever xenophobia, you know, I get that that's real. But for an American Greek in 2020, you just have to be satisfied with being white. Just enjoy being white.
Yeah. There's a lot of benefits.
You've already won.
Yeah. Enjoy it. All right. Let's knock out this final voicemail.
Woohoo.
Cool.
Hello, Andrew, Tani, and guests. I am a Black woman currently living in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. A few months ago, I ordered a Lyft, and my Lyft driver ended up being a white, middle-aged man. When I got into his vehicle, he had been listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd, so rock music, and he asked me if I had a music preference. I told him no and that I didn't care what music he played. He then proceeded to change the music to Lil Boosie. This was clearly a racially charged decision, And though I do enjoy Lil Boozy, I did not appreciate his racial assumption. Even though I was bothered, I didn't say anything because I had to ride in the car with him for another 20 minutes. And I didn't leave him a bad review because he had 5 stars and he could have known that I was the one who lowered his rating. And now he knows where I live because he was the one who picked me up at my apartment. I was wondering if y'all had any suggestions for how I could have safely addressed this issue. Thank you.
Damn.
Like, okay, is it bad that I'm like,
no,
I actually don't experience the harm here.
No, I
Lil Boosie is great.
Yeah, I am okay with that. One time I got into a cab in I think he might have been in Memphis actually with a white guy, and he started playing Brockhampton. He was like, she was talking to my fiance. And yeah, we were in Memphis, it was the same trip, and he was like, man, yeah, y'all like real hip hop. I was like, I don't know. The last time somebody told me that who was white, they played Black Eyed Peas, so it's good.
See, I feel like you guys get like you're giving off a different vibe than I give off. So for you, this is a fun exchange. Whereas I talk about this a lot. 75% of the ride shares I get in, there's like a Jill Scott, an India Ari. They hit me with neo soul a lot, and I feel a little. It makes me not feel as cool. No shade to those artists, but I would probably rather listen to hip hop. But no one's putting that on when I get in the car. So I feel this caller. I feel the irritation.
Yeah. I mean, he also if he knows, like, that's a range. Lynyrd Skynyrd to Lil Boosie. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a range. This person probably has amazing musical taste. Well, you should engage him in a tiny bit of conversation.
Something else I wonder, to bring up Confederate flags for like the 80th time in this conversation, is like that's a part of the Lynyrd Skynyrd iconography. I wonder if the driver, and this is like, and also I hate playing devil's advocate. This is just me. I'm talking out loud. I'm thinking out loud here. I wonder if the driver switched up like the music because maybe he felt like that, like Lynyrd Skynyrd might make her feel uncomfortable. I have no idea. I literally have zero idea.
Oh my
God. But that's something I was wondering.
If I was a driver, I'd be like...
Did we just defend a Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Well,
just defend
I like Freebird,
But if I was that...
Is a banger. I will go... Oh, I will forever say Simple Man Bangs.
I would have been like, turn that shit back on.
No, but I would be like... If I was a driver, I'd be like, okay, get Lynyrd Skynyrd off. Like, I'm not listening to this with a black person in the car. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I
should have been
in the first place. Yeah.
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 And then it just landed on Boosie.
I guess I just don't like that you're assuming what her musical tastes are. So take the Skynyrd out of it. Take the Confederate out of it. Like, you know what, if it's George Harrison or something and you just see a black person get in and you're like, ooh, this big black dude probably doesn't want to listen to All Things Must Pass. Let me put on, you know, but maybe he does. Like, I just don't like being boxed in.
I hear that. I think the other thing that is important in this, if I recall correctly, she actually stated to him that she didn't have a preference.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like in that, if you say I don't have a preference and then he kind of goes in, I can understand, you know, defaulting to. Now, my question is like, was this in his catalog? Was this just on the, was Lil Boosie just on the radio? He might have just defaulted to kind of like the hip hop station.
Does he have different Spotify playlists that are like black person in car, visibly queer person? Because then it gets a little messy.
you can't prepare for everything nowadays. I think that the fact that she didn't state a preference also to me like gives him a tiny bit of leeway here. She could have been like, you know, I don't have a preference, but you know, not necessarily like no hard hip hop or no like. Look at, you know, you might see me, but don't assume neo soul. Like, I don't know. Like, if the guy played what he played after that moment, she could have been like, well, no, not this. Because I'm real quick to, I often experience a lot of the, like, Fox News talk radio when I get in the car. And I'm like, very quick to, oh, no. Can we turn this to Hot 97 or Power 105 or just something? Yeah. Something better than this.
That's actually the best advice for this whole question, I think, is to just... When anyone asks you in a rideshare, just state what you want. Just don't say no thanks, whatever, because then you might get profiled. Just say what you want to hear.
Yeah, I now that you mention it, I frequently get Ariana Grande, and
ooh,
I know, like frequently. Now I think I'm like, and also a lot of Shawn Mendes, who I didn't know who he was until I repeatedly heard him in rideshares. But yeah, I get pop music more so than anything else, unless there's like a new Beyonce or something like that. Mm-hmm, then I immediately get profiled as being a Black woman, period. And I don't fully hate it. But yeah, I think that, like, I hate to say this, but I think maybe you just have to charge it to the game for this specific instance. Yeah. And then going forward, you know, like Tawny said, just ask for what you want. And if you don't like it, then you can also state that preference as well.
It's like, choose your choice. You got to choose your choice.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think if you're a Lyft driver, just top 40 or like really old jazz, just nothing.
Honestly, some of my favorite Lyfts will just be playing like some really chill classical. Isn't that so nice to just get into like the most tranquil, educated feeling environment? It's just so peaceful.
Well, I like the silent ones. I mean, because nowadays I almost always have my earbuds with me. I'm almost always listening to something, like whether it's music, a podcast, or something. So like getting in the car, I like it when they're just quiet. And I'm like, oh, no, you don't need to put anything on. I'm good. I'm going
to
zone
People
out.
People talk to me a lot.
More of the world.
Now I think about it, I actually end up having a lot of conversations, getting people's life stories. One time, this guy was playing really good disco, and I was like, I thought I was being profiled, and then I was like, I'm like literally, I don't know what about me would make this man think that that's what I wanted to hear. And then we had a really good conversation, because he used to be at like Danceteria and like Studio 54 and all this sort of stuff. And he like told me about how he used to do a lot of drugs and have group sex, and then he got his life together. Some people still do those things, but he couldn't do that and maintain the type of healthy lifestyle that he wanted to at the same time. So actually, now that I think about it, you said silent. I'm like, people are silent with you in these rides? Because I end up like, I almost got, somebody was trying to recruit me to a gang one time.
Really?
Hell yeah.
Is that where this is happening now?
Yes. Someone once gave me a book on polygamy. In a Lyft.
Wow.
I don't like, they were trying to educate me about it. I was like, I'm good. Thank
but that
you.
Makes me wonder.
Right, like a physical book?
You, yeah.
Yeah.
Hard, was it hard something about cover. You specifically? Or did this person have a box in the like passenger seat that they were like, okay, just for the special people?
The super, super truncated story is that I said goodbye to a friend on the street who was a man, and I got in the car and the guy said, is that your husband? And I said, no, just a friend. And he goes, oh, your husband lets you hang out with other men, huh? You seem very open. And then launched into a pitch for polygamy. And I was like, all I did was say goodbye to a male friend, and now I'm being attacked.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Having that spoken to a man, you should marry many of them.
Have you heard of more men? It was wild.
Rihanna did say more is more last year. So
she did say more is more.
Oh, shit. Amazing. Well, speaking of wild, we've done a wild thing and talked ourselves to the end of our time together. Whew, what am I saying?
We did it.
We did it.
You did it. You guys had good... you guys had good answers to things, and I think you helped people, which is something that we don't do a good job of, but you elevated this show, so for that, I thank you.
It's a time capsule. We're now the best version of the time capsule.
Yeah. This is going to be the best. The best version of this show you will hear this week.
Yeah.
This is
helpful us. You're like us if we knew what the hell we were talking about.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So, how can people find your show, find you if you want to be found on the internet, et cetera?
Our show is called The Nod with Brittany and Eric. It comes out, brand spanking new episode comes out every day, Monday through Friday, on a little app called Quibi, Quibi. We don't get to spell things out on video. I like spelling things out on audio. my name is Brittany Luce, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BM Luce. Do not look for me anywhere else. I will not speak to you.
Yes, and I am also on Twitter at E Eddings. My name doesn't read as my name. It reads as Houseplant Poppy. I haven't changed it yet, but E Eddings on Twitter. Check us out at The Nod with Brittany and Eric every day.
Every day,
amazing. Watch that shit.
Watch
it. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming. Thanks for being here.
Thanks,
y'all. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, this was awesome. Great. Yeah. Thank you. Okay,
we back.
They're great. It was cool to, like, we haven't done a ton of these quarantined interviews, And the ones we have done have been with people that I feel like either you or I or both of us know. So it was interesting to meet mm-hmm. people and see inside their homes mm-hmm. immediately. And in one case, like kind of talk to someone's partner.
Yeah. 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 It's fucking fascinating. But yeah, fucking life goes on, I guess, is the important thing. And, you know, we're all fucking hanging in there more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do we do? Podswag.com/yo if you want to get a Yo Is This Racist branded cocktail transportation device.
Uh-huh. Also makes a good shaker.
Yes, perfect shaker. Let's see, we already said the phone number. Yo Is This Racist. Follow us on Twitter and IG. After a technical issue hiatus, we are back on IG and Twitter, and that's almost entirely my fault. I lost the passwords. What else? Trani Newman, Andrew T. That's it.
Peace.
Bye.